Got your phone. I'm going to keep your phone. Still got your phone. Is there any way we can turn the house lights up just a little bit? Thank you. First off, it's an honor to be here with you guys. The more I grow as a man in this life, I'm 32, the more I value time. And time is an investment that we give that you can't get it back. So I value your time. My heart and my prayer is that every one of you in this room will never forget what God does in your heart this morning. And here's what we pray, and we've been asking God, but it won't happen if you stay closed up in your heart. We need you to, just like in the worship, to say, God, I want to know you more. I want to hear from you. It's going to come through my mouth to your heart, but you guys know the Holy Spirit can speak and minister to your heart on something totally different than what I'm talking about. But you have to be listening. Now, I've been married for this summer. It's been 12 years to my wife. My wife is amazing. I love her so much. I'm a man that doesn't do a lot of details. My wife is a details person. So she'll talk. She'll ask me a question. Hey, babe, how was your day? It was really good. How was your day? 20 minutes later, she's still talking, and I'm checking out a little bit. But I'm looking at her, and I'm making eye contact with her. I'm not listening whatsoever, though. So I'm going to ask that you don't do that. Because I believe what the Lord wants you to hear this morning will challenge and impact the way that you operate every day the rest of your life. Because I'm going to expose the war for your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and you have to hear it. Because everybody in here, let me promise you, there's a war for your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. If you know Jesus, you've been born again. You have new spiritual life. That doesn't mean that Satan stops warring against you. It's exactly the opposite. When you get born again in Jesus Christ, you have this new identity. And Satan is after something that we have to get to the bottom of this morning, that we have to guard and protect. But before we get into that, I want to tell you, if you guys don't know Michael Bodine, Michael, stand up really fast. Stand up, please. This guy is one of my heroes. Every guy that is challenged, if you're not challenged by the time we're done, you weren't listening. Every guy that's challenged in here that wants to take action on the challenge, I want you to talk to Michael. Because we're all about walking in transparent, vulnerable community together, exposing the lies of the enemy and walking in the truth that God has for us. And men, you are tempted. Wives of men that are tempted. Let me tell you, your husband is tempted by pornography. Period. Men, you have to have somebody in your life who understands the temptation. So Michael is the person. We have a whole community of guys that will walk towards holiness, understanding temptation. Let me tell you, I got to spend time with Michael's wife, Ty, and she's amazing. Women, there needs to be a rising of your culture to start talking about more focused the vulnerable things that are attacking your heart. Statistically, what's happening? More women are viewing pornography than we've ever seen on record in this country. We have to get a culture of people talking about the really uncomfortable things to grow in godliness. So I want you guys, Ty, where are you? She's probably going to punch me. She's right back here. Ty, stand up and wave for us, please. Please, will you stand up and wave for us? She is amazing. Any women that have questions after? Thank you, Ty. And then I just met Emily this morning, but she did enter the announcements. And man, I'm telling you, I'd put her on a stage anywhere I go. She's amazing. So her and Andrew, let me tell you, please pray for these leaders. Because there's a war to shut them down. And what we have to get into, so I want you to know that before we get in. Because if I don't give you that and you just leave challenged, hopefully impacted by the Holy Spirit, and you think you can walk through it by yourself, you're mistaken. if every man in this room over 11 and over, if you don't have pornography blockers on your devices, your computer, your iPhone, you are targeted by the most profitable industry that we've ever seen with marketers called pornographers. Having accountability doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you understand your weakness and you can boast in that and you can walk in who you are in Christ. So we have to get to the bottom of some really difficult things, but I want you to know when you're challenged, when you leave, you have a community that you can talk with. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open to John 10:10. I want you to look at it, feel it, see it. You guys can know this, and man, you probably, most of you can have memorized this verse, but I want you to open your Bible or your phone, wherever, whatever you have, man. I want you to open it. John 10:10. A lot of guys, I do men's ministry. We're in 36 countries around the world. And a lot of guys will say, man, I'll go to war with you. I'll storm the gates of hell with you. I throw in my Bible and say, hey, find Malachi 3:10. And they start looking at the back of the Bible. Say, hey, wait a second. We got a problem. You're saying you're going to go to war with me, but you have no idea how to use the sword. We got to backstep a little bit. So you guys, John 10:10, open it up. I want you to see it. John 10:10, this is Jesus. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have life more abundantly. Let me tell you guys, Jesus is concerned about every part of your life. Jesus loves you. Jesus knows every hair on your head. Jesus knows every hurt that you've had. Every time you've sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because of insecurity, he's been there. He knows every pain that you have, and he has a desire to give you life and life more abundantly. But what we have to talk on this morning is the war for what Satan is after in your life. What is he trying to steal from you? He's not trying to steal your car. He's not trying to steal items in your house, material items in your house. So what is he focused on stealing? We've got to get to the bottom of that. And let me tell you, I had the opportunity to serve for 6 years active duty in the United States Navy. I deployed to Operation Iraqi Freedom. And before I deployed as a naval air crewman into Operation Iraqi Freedom, what you have to do is you have to get briefed on the enemy that you're about to go combatively work against to stop their advancement against our country and our allied nations. So what they do is they teach you what the enemy is going after. So we watch this. We watch the approach of what, at the time, Al-Qaeda is planning, and they're so strategic in what they're doing, and it brought a sense of healthy fear into my life. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But you have to have this sense of respect for your enemy. So you just don't walk into Baghdad. I didn't have a man bun at that point. Nobody would touch me if I had a man bun. Be like, oh man, that guy, man, must be able to take a jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 guys. I don't want to touch him. But if you have respect for your enemy, you're not going to walk into Baghdad with no weapons and just walk out there by yourself. It's not because in Christ, I've never been given a spirit of fear from Christ. I have wisdom, though. I understand this enemy wants to slowly torture me and kill me. And he knows I'm after him to destroy the work that he has done. And the awesome thing about Christianity, for every man, we get to celebrate. Women, you're warriors too. Jesus came, 1 John 3:8, he came to destroy the work of the enemy. You are here as believers to do the same thing. You can't destroy his work if he's destroying you. And what is he after? He is after to steal your knowledge of who you are in Christ. How is he doing it? Women, let me talk with you for 1 second. Your greatest weapon against you, women, is the mirror that you look at every day. The greatest weapon against women that I've ever seen is the mirror that you look at on average 8 times a day. You see your reflection. I'm married to an amazing woman, brought up in the church. She's been gorgeous. She had a couple years in high school where she had her God, I call him God protected her those years. And she's been gorgeous other than those 2 years her whole life. She fell into an eating disorder when she got into college. And what she saw in the mirror was so distorted, and Satan was working so heavily against her. It was making an amazing woman of God worship a toilet and throw up and throw up and throw up. Women, the reflection that you see when you look in the mirror, let me tell you, is not who you are in Christ. When you look into the mirror and you judge and base your day off of those emotions, you're already being deceived. Because who you are in Christ is not who you are in this flesh. Praise God for that. People will come up to me and be like, man, you remind me of somebody maybe I've seen on TV. And I'm like, The Rock? Like, no, not The Rock. I was like, oh, okay, because my inner spiritual man looks like The Rock. Who you are in Christ, completely different. Praise God. Women, the subtle attack at your life. Married woman, I'm going to talk to you next. Guys, don't worry, I'm coming for you. I've been married for almost 12 years. This summer will be 12 years. And I've watched 3 chick flicks. Every guy says, well done. Well done. Not only do I not like movies where things don't blow up, I don't like movies that make me look like the bad guy. Because there's an 18-year-old vampire that never makes mistakes. And he is, so then I get compared to him in these romanticized chick flicks. And it's always, you never see a chick flick about a Christian couple that's been married for 30 years and they're faithful to each other. And one has the flu, and the other one's holding her hair while she has the flu, and he's loving her and taking care of her and praying over her. You don't see those in Hollywood. They're not going to make that movie. It's always the affair, the new relationship. You don't see them. What I learned to do, I learned to court my wife. I've never seen a chick flick where the guy courted a woman. Why? Because it's not exciting. It doesn't draw the woman's heart into this passionate excitement of what a man could be. And it's Satan's subtle way, women, to draw your heart, to make you think, what if life was different? What if what God said really isn't the truth? What if? What if? And he's drawing you out because he wants to steal something greater than anything else that you have, and it's your knowledge of who you are in Christ, because in Christ you're everything your heart hopes that you are. In your reflection, it's constantly going to be changing. I've never met one person that's satisfied. They've actually done a lot of research. The top research study that was ever done, the longest, they took the most athletic, beautiful people that they could find. And this is out of Harvard, and they had them stare at the mirror. Longest they could go was 10 minutes before they started to get depression in their brain. Saying that you're not going to be satisfied with the way that you look. But the awesome thing is, in Christ, you can be confident with who you are in him. And there's a war from the most strategic enemy that we've ever known, that we've ever seen. And he's subtly going for your heart. He's subtly going for you, everyone in this room, to think that you'll never be what God, what you think God says that you are. You'll never walk into this. Your past will define your future. Everything that you have failed with, man, that's going to haunt you the rest of your life. And we live in a world that says karma, and God's word says grace. And we look at this picture to say there's redemption in the blood of Jesus. There's not this karma that's going to come back to get you. But Satan's gunning for your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And the Bible, Paul breaks this down, and he teaches in Galatians 5, 16 through 17 that the lust wages war against the spirit, and the spirit wages war against the flesh, wages war against the spirit. Spirit wages war against the flesh. What is the flesh? We have to break that down to identify. I became a Christian when I was 18 years old. I got brought up in a broken home, raised by my dad who tried to do really good. My dad didn't know Jesus. My dad taught me to not respect women emotionally because all they do is hurt you, so you treat them like sex objects. So this is what I learned growing up. I become an alcoholic when I'm 13, partied like crazy. Started to smoke weed when I was 13 or 14. Started to do prescription medicine and drink at the same time. Then I started to deal those. And then I started to just party and party and party and live in this lifestyle. And when I joined the military, I was hoping that I could be a good person by myself. I fell right back into the same lifestyle. After a weekend partying in Panama City, where a group of us guys went 4.5 days, and every teenager in the room, let me tell you something, if you're tempted or you've fallen into that lifestyle, get out of it. If you're tempted by it, don't believe the lies that alcohol and drugs and sex are rewarding to your soul. I'd have those nights where you do everything that you think like this world can offer, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're thinking, I hate you. And you're looking right back at yourself, and everybody's passed out and everybody's going through this process, and you're thinking, I hate who you've become. But I don't know how to change it. Because we all have the Monday morning expectations, right? Hey, Monday morning, I'm starting a keto diet. You guys heard that, right? I'm never touching sugar ever for 2018 through 2028. Ever again, I'm not touching sugar. Get those donuts away from me. Monday morning, you start off slamming it. You're ready. You had broccoli for breakfast. And you mixed it up in a protein shake just to show the world, I love this. And you cheers to Instagram. 2 o'clock hits. You're not on social media. I'm taking a social media fast for a week because all of a sudden you're off keto. You're back into carb loading for the next weekend. And you have this feeling of why. That's what I had inside of me constantly. I just remember thinking, I'm never going to treat women that way again. The next party, I'd be in the same situation. And eventually I get to the point to where I'm done with it. After this weekend partying in Panama City, I hit my knees by myself in my barracks room in Pensacola, Florida. And I had this Bible that I had all the way from 7th grade that my mother gave me. I didn't live with my mother, but she gave it to me. And in 7th grade, it was always on my bed. I never read this thing. It haunted me. I don't know why it was always on the headboard of my bed, but it was always there. You get to bring a couple things to boot camp when you go. I took this Bible. I have no idea why I took this Bible. I grabbed this Bible, I opened it up. I got on my knees on March 23rd at about 5:30 in the afternoon. And I said, if you're real, and you are who my heart is longing for, I'm in. And I said, God, if you're real, I commit the rest of my life to tell people about your love. And in that moment, I felt God's presence for the first time in my entire life. And let me tell you, God's presence and your knowledge of his presence is what all of the gates of hell will rage against you every day that you don't experience. Because his presence is better than any high. God's presence is better than any sex, any drug, any alcohol that you'll ever experience. And what I experienced that day shifted the course of my life and my eternity. But you know what God did not do in that moment for me? He didn't give me a new brain. And I can tell you, when somebody cuts me off in traffic, he didn't give me a new brain. When somebody puts a Krispy Kreme donut in front of me, which I used to get high and eat 12 Krispy Kreme at one time. So you put a Krispy Kreme donut in front of me, what does my brain remember? How awesome that was. My brain remembers the lusts that I experienced before I knew Christ. My brain gets triggered by lusts still, tempted constantly, sometimes failing in those temptations. I have a brain that will never lust for righteousness, and yours doesn't either. But in that moment, Christ didn't give me a new brain. Christ didn't give me a new physical body. I have scars on my knuckles where I used to fight people. I didn't like fighting, but I did it to maintain a status. I have scars. My nose is a little crooked from how many times I fought. I didn't get a new body. I didn't get a new heart, passion system, hormonal processing system. I didn't get that. I got born again in Christ. And from that birthday on, it is my responsibility to train my brain to look like Jesus. And let me tell you, my wife, I have to talk with her all the time because she was brought up in church. She's been a Christian since she was 6. I feel like sometimes women, sinful thoughts surprise you. Some women. For a man, a thought of if somebody cuts you off the road and a thought of turning in the Batmobile and just blowing them up, it's an everyday operation for us. Your brain has 30 to 50,000 thoughts every day. Satan doesn't attack you every day. Only 1/3 of his army fell from heaven. He's not all places at one time. A lot of the attacks that you get in your thought life are because we haven't programmed our brain to think like Jesus. Your habitual mind isn't running in the operation that it should be. It's running in the operation of Netflix binging based on what this happened in this show and why doesn't my husband do that in this whole process. And now we get to this understanding where, guys, we have to face you now. And we did this last night and we talked through this, that this process starts to happen with men as well, and it takes men and drives them into a ditch to say, I can't believe you're tempted by pornography, and Satan starts to lie to you, and this war starts to wage for your soul. And what does Satan want you to do? Satan's greatest goal in your life is to get you to identify with your sin and not your Savior. His greatest goal is to say, I want you to identify with that sin. I can't believe you did that. You're such a loser. You should hide in shame the rest of your life. He wants you to say, hi, my name is the sin that I did yesterday. I am not a womanizer. You can ask my wife. I love my wife like crazy. I honor my wife. If she was here, she'd stand up and say, hey, just remember, we have a lot of difficulties too. Marriage is unbelievably hard. Marriage is about holiness, not about happiness. It's about holiness. And holiness takes death from both sides every single day. And if one person doesn't decide to pick up their cross and follow Jesus that day, that death happens in a fight later that night. Marriage is hard. But God can do inside of you the impossible. And Satan is warring to get you to know that because his greatest mission is to steal the magnificence of your creation in Christ. He wants you to steal how rich relationships can be, how awesome God's word is. He wants you to think, oh, you don't have to have time with God's word this morning. You've already studied that. You hit your devotion mark 2 days ago. You don't need to study God's word. You can just open up Facebook. You can check out what your friends are doing. Maybe that one guy posted a scripture. You can read the scripture. Satan wants you to think that this isn't the greatest book in the history of the world. He wants you to subtly start to think that you don't have to read this. You know, this book is undefeated in the court of law. It's awesome. Undefeated. The Book of Mormon, defeated, defeated, defeated. They literally won't take it back into the court of law. DNA just keeps saying, hey, it's not accurate. They try to do that with this. It's undefeated. I saw in Israel this last year, I saw the Dead Sea Scrolls. 1,000 years of a difference. I'm an author. If I wrote a book, which I have, and I died, and 1,000 years later, somebody else wrote the same book and didn't miss one sentence, you guys would say, that is weird. And my book's fiction. It's the book of Isaiah, nonetheless. The Dead Sea Scrolls, the main book is Isaiah. Not one sentence is different. That book prophesies the entire 66 books of the Bible in perfect order. 1,000 years different. This book is undefeated. The greatest war is for you to think that God's word isn't as powerful as some people say. It's not going to work for you. You don't need to pray. God's not going to listen to your prayers anyway. I can't believe you did that yesterday. You got to stay in this sin. You got to stay in this relationship. It's okay if you guys are having sex before marriage. That's no big deal. It doesn't matter anyway. Our culture is celebrating it. It's fine. You don't have to honor God's word. Let me tell you, God's way is the best way. Obeying his commands are the best thing that you can do. But also, let me tell you in the same breath, God's grace is unbelievably present in your life. Me and George, one of my best friends, we're walking in and I'm thinking like, are you kidding me? God's grace allows guys like me and you to minister his gospel. If you would have saw me in high school, you would have said, I hope that guy gets a car wreck. I was a jerk. I destroyed people's lives. You know what God's grace did? He saw past all of that for who I am in his presence. And that's what he does with you. Because if we think for one second that we're just good to go, that if we die, we can stand before God and we can say, I'm good. I gave some money here. I helped the mission trip here. Man, I'm good. I went to church a couple times a year. You know what Jesus says in Matthew 7? He gives this analogy of this person that does all these amazing works. You cast out demons in my name. You prophesied in my name. You healed the sick in my name. Those are awesome things to do. You know what he says at the end? He says, but you didn't know me. And I didn't know you. We didn't have what's that word know mean? We didn't have an intimate relationship together. What's his answer? It's okay, man. I'm what our culture says, God's good. Oprah, man, I need her to be a Christian. We all need her to be a Christian so bad. It's okay. There's tons of ways to God. It's fine if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can go around the mountain the other way and still come up. That's wrong. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody will come to the Father unless through me. What's Jesus say? He breaks that down even further. To say, if you don't know me, if I don't know you in an intimate way, if we don't have a relationship, you die, and there's only two options, eternity with him or eternity in hell. And Jesus died to give you life and life more abundantly, and he's not focusing on the life after this life. He's focusing, let me tell you, he's focusing on this life here and now. Today, he's focusing, men, listen to me. He's focusing, and I'm going to tell you, I was addicted to pornography. I became a Christian. I started to talk to guys and say, hey, guys, I'm addicted to pornography. Will you talk to me, please? And guys are like, oh, man, yeah, just don't look at it. I'm like, don't look at it? I'm 18 years old, and I live in Pensacola, Florida. I've been a partier almost my entire adult, young adult life. People didn't know how to address me. Until one guy cared enough to talk through the really hard things with me. He got uncomfortable because he was more concerned about my sanctification with Jesus than his feelings in the moment. And we walked through, and let me tell you, I stand today as somebody that can say it's possible not to view women like sex objects. That is amazing. That's what I was brought up doing. That's what I was brought up thinking. That was my thought process. What does the Holy Spirit do? He changes the way that I think. He transforms me. As I digest his word, spend time with him, he changes the way that I think. I still don't like broccoli, but I eat it. I'm just hoping there's the miraculous that happens. But guys, let me tell you, I promise you, his grace is sufficient for every need that you have. And if you're caught in an addiction, I promise, he can break any chain of addiction that you have. I don't care how bad you think it is. I don't care anything. Jesus is here to destroy those chains of addiction. And men and women, you've got to let him do it. We've never seen a wave starting to destroy marriages more than pornography. It's one area of conversation we have to have. Anger is another one. Why are these conversations? As we wrap up, I want us to meditate on what Paul said in Romans 12:1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you, I plead with you by the mercies of God to offer your body a living sacrifice to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I want you guys to look at your hands. Look at your hands right now. Look at your hands. Look at your hands. I want you to keep looking at your hands. Meditate on what you think when you look at those hands. Look at your feet. Look at your feet. Real quick. Look at your feet. Look at your feet. Don't look at your neighbor's feet. Look at your feet. All right. Look back at me. Not yours. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, these aren't yours. Those feet aren't yours. Your body has been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. Don't treat it like it's yours. Don't destroy it. I told the guys last night, there's not one way to worship God without using your body. Your only tool to worship God with every part of what you do. What Jesus said, the first and greatest command is this: the Lord your God is one. In Matthew, in Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. What does he say? Everything that you are, love God with every part of it. If I took your brain and put it right up here and we put it on these screens and we watched the last 24 hours of what you've taken in by choice, would you be willing to do it? We have to get to the point to where we're walking in purity in every area of our pursuit of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you're not going to be able to be successful if you don't have friends that will walk with you. And this morning, I want you to think about, what are areas in your life that have to change? There's angels that fly around God the Father and sing, "Holy, holy, holy." These are angels that are magnificent creatures. When we spend time and we look at God, our answer is always worship. Isaiah fell face down. John, who was the disciple that Jesus loved, he wrote up that about himself. I love that. I totally write that. He fell flat to his face when he saw Jesus. What are the areas in your life that you have to change this morning? It's called repent. You have to go to the cross for and say, here's the deal. I've been treating this area of my life like it's mine, and I'm screwing it up. I need your help. I've been treating my marriage like it's my own. I've been treating my kids like it's my own. If I can get the band to come up and start playing, I don't know if the band is coming up. If we have a response time for you guys, band? Yeah, cool. I want you to start thinking and processing through that in your life. And take it extremely serious. There's repentance that needs to happen in all of our lives. And I want you to, as you're processing, when you think about your diet, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Does your diet glorify God? The leading cause of death on this planet is not ISIS. It's a poor diet. Researchers all around the world say, how do we solve this problem? We don't know unless people choose to solve it by themselves. Let me tell you, you have a spirit of self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7. Power, love, and a self-disciplined mind. You have all the self-discipline you need. You just have to use it. Let me promise you, using it's not easy. Maybe you have a problem with pornography and you're massively addicted to it. Maybe you have a problem with self-destructive thoughts and you look in the mirror and you hate yourself. I've talked to so many teenagers where they're cutting themselves. I don't know where you're at, but I want you to say, what is it that you have to repent from, that you have to step back and say, God, I need your help. I want, as the band starts to play, I want you to think about that. I also want to ask if there's anybody in here that was like me when I was 17 years old and I was trying to think, man, maybe Monday's going to come and I can actually be a better person. I'll never forget when I was 16 years old, I was standing in the weight room of my high school. This kid came up to me and he said, hey, do you believe that God's real? I said, yeah, everybody believes that God's real. He said, why aren't you a Christian? I had a broken home. I said, I don't want to trust a God that I can't see. He said, you know what? I don't believe God's real. I said, man, that's kind of a gutsy choice. What if you die? We talked through this, and he's like, I just don't care, man. I don't believe he's real at all. I was like, how do you not believe God's real? And we talked, and we walked away. 2:30 in the afternoon that day, somebody came to my class, knocked on my door, and said, hey, I have bad news. My friend flipped his car. His necklace got caught on his handle. He was going 98 miles an hour, got caught on his handle. His head popped off. They found it 100. It was 100 yards away from his vehicle. He died, and he found out that day if God was real. Let me tell you, he is real. And if he didn't repent, let me tell you where he's at. He's in hell for eternity, being tortured by the most horrific bad guys we've ever seen with no hope of escape. If you're in here and you don't know who King Jesus is as a Lord and Savior, I want you to meet him today. So do me a favor. Let's stand up. I want you to worship God. If you need to, and your heart's just beating inside your chest, and you want to know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you never have, do not be ashamed of that. It's the best thing on this planet. We're going to have people right over in this corner, right over here. If that's you, I want you to walk over there and get prayer. If you're in here and you need to repent of something that you can't deal with on your own, I want you to head over there. There's going to be guys right over here that will pray with you. There'll be women that will be able to pray with you. I want you to walk up. We need to go to the cross and say, Jesus, I need your help. I need the blood that you shed for me. I need the life. And don't stay there. If you know you're supposed to go, go. We confess our sins one to another and there's healing. If you don't know Jesus, there's nothing better in this entire eternal life than knowing him. So as the band starts to play, I want your heart to respond. And if you need to go up and get prayer, please do.